Today's shiur is the Masechta Becharis on Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph on the ninth line, right after the two dots, with the first word on the line, Esve. We need first to go back to yesterday's Daf at the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Aleph, 13 lines from the bottom. We're going to review that Gemara very quickly and then get into the question that the Gemara is going to ask of Esve. So this question refers back to what Rish Lakish said. Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yudin Nesiya, again on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, 13 lines from the bottom. Halikeich Tzir Mei Amo Oretz. If somebody takes fish brine, Tzir is a liquid that comes from fish through salting, and water is mixed in with the liquid that comes out of the fish. Sometimes there's more water than the liquid that's coming from the fish. Other times, there's more of the liquid than the water. If he takes this mixture, which we call tzir, me'ama'oretz, from an ama'oretz, and ama'oretz, as Rashi told us there, is nechshad on tumah. So the halacha is, mashikoy b'mayim v'tar, that he takes this liquid and he puts it together in a mikveh, it touches the water of the mikveh, and then this combination, water and fish brine together, is tor. And the Gemara explained there, because memanavshach, ima yerubaninu, if there's a majority of water in this mixture, kiven de avidlu hashaka taharilu. So then the hashaka works. And in fact, the original juice that came from the fish is bottled in the water. The whole thing is called water. And now it's all mutter because of hashaka. Rashi explains over there, how does hashaka work? It works like you're replanting. Just like if you take something tameh and you plant it in the ground, the tumah goes away. So too, if you take this tumah water and you now make hashaka in a mikveh, it takes away that tumah. So that's if there's a majority of water. But v'i rubat tzir ninu, if there's a majority of tzir in this mixture, so tzir loy bar kabali tumahu. Tzir, as Rashi explains, is a zeya ba'alma. It's sweat of the fish. And therefore, it's not considered a liquid that would be makabal tumah. So the only problem is, what about the miut of water in the mixture? Mai ikka mishum hanach miut de maya. And as Rashi explains, now it would seem that I have a problem. Because since the majority is the tzir, and the minority is the water, so how do I look at the whole mixture like it's all tzir? Because the water would become bottle in the tzir. Now, on tzir, you cannot make hashaka. The way to get rid of the tumah would be through hashaka. Hashaka doesn't work on tzir. Hashaka only works on the water. So the Gemara says, hanach betalu beruba. If you're telling me that the water becomes batal in the tzir, and that's why hashaka won't work, but then you have a different heter. The heter is because the water is batal in the tzir, it's batal beroiv. And since the tzir is not mekabel tuma, so memela, the meat of water, is also not mekabel tuma. So memanavshach, if the water is roiv, it's mutter through hashaka, and if the tzir is roiv, then it's mutter because of then everything is called tzir. The water is bottle in the tzir, and therefore tzir is not a mekabel tuma. So either way, the water is tar. But then Rabbi Yirmiyah came along and said, Loishana litbo ben pitoy. That's only if you're going to dip your bread into this fish brine with water. Avalikadeira loy. But if you're going to take this mixture of tzir and water and you're going to mix it together with water in a pot, then you have a problem. Then it becomes tame. Why? Because matzah minas minoy v'neyur. Because then we say that the miut water attaches itself to the majority of water. Now, by the way, tzir can be mevatel the miut of water. Why? Because tzir is not mekabel tuma, because it's zeya. When you have the majority of tohar water with the minority of tame water, There you don't say bittul beroiv, because tumah has a power, as if it's min b'minoi, if this water is connected with the Torah water, which could be makabel tumah, then tumah has, we don't say bittul beroiv on tumah itself. The only time we say bittul beroiv is if it's in tzir, because tzir is not something that can be makabel tumah. But water, Torah water, which could be makabel tumah, that Torah water can't be mevatel the meat water, which is tumah. That's an important point to bring out here. So if the tzir, now the combination of majority tzir with minority water, tumah water, gets put into a kedera, then we say that matzah minas mina v'neyar, it rejuvenates. In other words, the tumah, we see from Rabbi Yirmiyah, a very important yisod, and that's what the Gemara is going to dwell on in here on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, that the tumah does not become totally batal. In other words, we're going to get into that in the Gemara. We could look at it that it's nishapech, that water, which was a minority mixed in with the tzir, is nishapech. The molecules get transformed that they're no longer considered water, they're all considered tzir. And therefore there's no more tumah. Rabbi Yirmiyah teaches us not like that. Rabbi Yirmiyah teaches us that the tumah is still there. It's dormant. It cannot have power as long as it's a minority. But once it matches up with the majority of water, and now in fact the tzir becomes a minority in the total mixture in the kedera, so then the tzir will be batel in all the water, and the entire mixture will be considered tameh. That's what Rav Yirmiyah teaches us. On that, Abaya asked the question at the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Aleph, v'chitumah shebatel chaz v'neyora, how can the Torah water rejuvenate the tameh water? And now we come to our Gemara here on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph with Esvei. A line before the Esve, at the end of two lines before at the end, it says, Amale in Tumah Oireres Tumah, Tahara Oireres Tumah. If Tumah can be Ma'orer Tumah, but could Tahara be Ma'orer Tumah? This is the focus of the Machlokas here between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya. Abaya says, of course you can have a case where you're Ma'orer Tumah, where it comes back to life. But that's only if it gets mixed up with other tumah water. Mashi Yankin, here you're telling me it's getting mixed up with water of a kedera. That water is tor. So you mean to say that tor water can also rejuvenate the tumah water that's mixed in with the tzir? No, that Abaya disagrees with. And Rabbi Yirmiyah holds that it's even able to, tor water can also rejuvenate. That is the machlokes. Everybody's mind that tumah water can rejuvenate the other water. The question is on Torah water. That's the sugya till here. Now, Esve, here's where we're up to. Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Nine lines from the top of the daf. Esve, now Rashi says that this is a question on Rabbi Yirmiyah, but other Rishonim learn, and that's how we're going to learn the Gemara, that this is a basic question not only on Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said that Torah can also be Ma'orer Tumah, but it's even a question on Abaya. It's a question on the whole concept that Tumah can be dormant and it can spring back to life at a later point. That's what the Gemara is going to question, both on Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya. Asa, I'm going to ask you a question from the following Mishnah, which is in Parah Perek Tes, Mishnah Zayin. We all know, before we get into the Mishnah, that mayim of the May Paraduma has a unique quality. It's metaher tmeim, but it's also metame tahirim. And Rashi brings down the pasuk on this, Bamidbar yutes, vanegeya bimeya nida yitma, that a Torah person who touches the May Chatos, he becomes tameh. And Rashi's shita is that this doesn't only refer to the mixture of the afer, of the red cow, the paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma together with the water, but it refers to the ashes by themselves also. If a Torah person touches the ashes of the paraduma, he becomes tameh. So now what our Mishnah here in Purah is discussing is what happens if the afer of the Parah Aduma gets mixed up with other ashes, like a stove where you burnt wood and it made ashes, and now all the ashes are getting mixed up together. What's the halacha? Says the Mishnah there, afer kosher, which refers to the afer of the Parah Aduma, shenis arv be'afer mikla, that it got mixed up together with the afer of a oven where the wood turned into ashes. So halchan acharoiv l'tamei. So if the majority is the afer kosher, which means the afer of the Parah Aduma, then you go after roiv. And what happens? Tamei. Because here we're speaking about where the Torah person touched the afer, and mimela he becomes tamei. Ve'i ruba efer mikla. But what happens if the efer Parah Aduma is a minority and the efer mikla is a majority? So here the next word the shita takes out the word who. The din is ve'i ruba efer mikla loy metame. Then it's not metame. Even though you have a minority of efer Parah Aduma, which should be metame, but it's batel b'roiv. So ask the Gemara, Ve'i amra tuma kamanda isya dami, if you're going to go along with this concept that tuma can remain dormant and it can come back to life. So let's say in this case where the Afer Parah Aduma is a minority, but let's say we added on more Afer Parah Aduma until it became a majority. So according to what we've been learning before in the Sugya of Abaya and Rabbi Yirmiyah, we would say that it bounces back to life. Now it's the majority. If so, I have a question. If you're going to say this concept that it has like a Tchiyas HaMesim, it's Chayzer V'Neir, it comes back, I have a question. Nehei de'bemagaloi metamei, I can understand why there's no Tumas Maga, touching. In other words, the Torah person who touched this mixture of Afer Parah Aduma to Afer Mikla, in this case he won't become Tamei, because the Afer Parah Aduma is batel in the Afer Mikla. I understand it. But Latamei b'masa, let him become Tamei if he carries it, as Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yudalit Amid Aleph, that Parah Aduma is not only Tamei b'maga, it's also Tamei b'masa. So why doesn't it become Tamei b'masa? What's the pshat in the Gemara's question? What's the difference, maga or masa? So the difference is as follows, that, and we see this in this long Tosfos here, Divrei Maschil Nevela. In other words, without the sugya before of Rabbi Yirmiyah, we would understand this Gemara very simply, this Mishnah in Parah. Why? Because there's Bittel Beroiv. And I would learn, what does Bittel Beroiv mean? It's Nishapech, that it's no longer Parah Aduma Efer, it's like it's all Efer Mikla. There is no Parah Aduma Efer here. So that's why if you carried it or you touched it, it wouldn't make any difference. But now that you told me this whole din of Chayzer V'Neir, that it's dormant until other ashes come of the Parah Aduma and bring it back to life, if they become a majority, they can bring back the first minority Parah Aduma ashes back to life, and the person will become Tamei if he touched it. So Bishloim Magai, I understand. Because it'll be batel b'roiv, but let it be tamei for masa. What's the pshat? So the pshat is, by maga, Rabbi Yirmiyah is teaching me halacha that we say it's dormant. So if you tell me that the tum is dormant, it must mean that you're learning it's not nishapech. It's not changing the molecules that it's no longer efer parah aduma, and it becomes like efer mikla. Because if so, how could it be dormant and come back to life later? Elamai, what is the pshat? The pshat is, the Vilner Gaon, the Gros says, that bittel b'roiv will be that every time I touch an area of the ashes, will say, you know which ashes you touched? You touched the Efer Mikla ashes. You didn't touch the Parah Aduma ashes. And even if I will touch all of the ashes, but I'll touch it b'zeh achar zeh, one after the other. So on each touching, I can go ahead and say, batel b'roiv. I could say that you touched that time the Efer Mikla. You didn't touch the Efer Parah Aduma. And the Marie Kurkus is brought down in the Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchish Shar Avois HaTumah, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin. He says a tremendous chiddush, that even if you would pick up all the ashes in one shot, and in one shot you're touching every surface area of the ashes, you could still say by maga, touching, that it's batel b'roiv. Why? Because since your hand is made up of five fingers, so you're not touching each area with the same finger, so on each area, that finger, you'll say that's from the roiv. By divide and conquer. Now, once you're able to split it up in some way, so mimela, I can all, on every finger, I'll say this is from the majority, that's Afer Mikla. So that's why there's no maga. That makes sense. But if you're carrying the entire item, which is comprised of Mikla and Afer Paraduma, I can't divide it up in any way. You're carrying it on your back. So there's no way to divide it up. If there's no way to divide it up, and the tumah is there, so you're carrying tumah. And we're learning it's not this hapach liyos heter. Varaya, because you're telling me it's chayzer v'neir. It's going to bounce back. It could only bounce back because it's still there. If it's still there, how could masa be mutter? That's the Gemara's question. Now, Tosfos tells us that this whole thing is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa vada bitl b'roif means nishapech. It changes. There is no Afer Mikla, Afer Parah Aduma here. We consider all the molecules of ashes here to be only Afer Mikla. That's midaraisa. The Rabbanan are the ones who went along and came up with a new idea. No, it's not nishapech. It doesn't change. It's there. It's dormant. And it'll come back to life. Maga will be mutter because you'll be able to divide it up. Now, Tosfos raises the following issue. What about if you have, like we're familiar with Taruvis, let's say a piece of treif, one piece of treif got mixed up with two pieces of kosher meat. So it's batel b'roiv. So I can, if I eat one piece of meat, I'll say that's from the majority that was kosher. I eat the second piece of meat, majority that's kosher. I eat the third piece of meat. That was all. On each eating, I can say it's from the majority that's kosher. But what happens if I'm going to eat all three pieces up at once? L'chayra, achila should be the same as what? As masa. It should be the same. There's nothing to divide it. And in fact, the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis holds that way. That if you eat all three pieces at once, you can't say it's mutter. Because we're not saying this hapach leheter. We're not saying that the treif becomes kosher. We're saying that on each kezias that you're eating, that one is from the roif. So that's only good bezach or zeh. But if you eat them up all together, you know that you've eaten something here that is treif. However, Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that you could be mechalik. And let's just read this part of Tosfos inside. This is in the long Tosfos Nevela, three lines from the bottom. The Yesh Leimer says Tosfos. The le'inyan achila kol mashu mashu kishenichnas bebeis abliya kama kama batel b'roiv heter. Tosfos says that even by achila, as each kezias is going through his throat, as he's swallowing it, I could say on each kezias as it's going down his throat, that one came from the heter. V'dami lemaga. Tosfos says therefore it's like maga. I could divide it up. Kishenaga v'chazer v'naga tatar. Just like we said, if you Tosfos doesn't hold like the Marie Curcus, that even if you touched everything at one time, it'll be mutter. But Tosfos says if you touched the whole thing, but you did it in sections, one after the other, on each section, you'll say that's from the rife. So I'll say the same thing. Tosfos disagrees with the Rashba. I'll say it by eating also. Here we see clearly Tosfos says, Midaraisa, it would be Nishapach Leheter, and therefore even Masa should be Mutter. It's only a Dinder Rabbanan. Don is Batel Beroiv, Midaraisa, it's Batel Beroiv, Nishapach Leheter, Heter. Mikol Mokim, Nehev, the Gozer Rabbanan, Linyan Masa, Loi Gozer Linyan Isser, the Loi Dami, Mitamid Preaches. Even though the Rabbanan said Masa is Osir, because that's all one carrying, you can't divide it up. However, by eating, I could look at each kezias as it goes through his throat, through the Beis Ablia, I could divide it up and say each kezias is from the roif. So Tosfos wants to say that eating will be like Maga and not like Masa. So anyway, we have this question here in the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Ha itmar Allah, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rechanina, Tor melatame b'maga, afu metame b'masa. So the Gemara answers, you're taka right. And we learned like that, Rabbi Yisrael Rechanina said, that when we learned in the Mishnah in Parah, that it's, when there's a roiv efer mikla, it's tor, that's only tamar b'maga, but masa enechaname, you're right. It's dormant, and it can come back to life, and that's why by masa, since it's dormant, and you're carrying it all at once time, the tumah is still there, and you carry tumah, and therefore, you will become tameh. You carry the efer paraduma, and that little bit of efer paraduma will make you tameh. Ask the Gemara, V'omer, I have a second question. V'omer, Rav Chizda, who was an Amoira, he said, Nevela b'teila b'shuta. And this is, Rashi explains that this is le'inyan, not only the isser of achilas nevela, but this is le'inyan tumas nevela. So you have, let's say, two pieces of kosher slaughtered, shchita, meat. You have one piece of nevela that wasn't correctly slaughtered, and the one piece fell into the two. So the din is, it's bottle in the two. Why? Shei Efsher, we're going to see the Girsa in our Gemara, and the Shita says our Girsa is incorrect. But let's see what our Gemara's Girsa is. Shei Efsher l'nevela sheteyasa shchuta. The nevela can never become like the shchuta. Now, and the Gemara explains elsewhere that the shchuta is the mevatel, and the nevela is the thing that's becoming bottle. So, here we get into the Inyan. We notice Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether min b'minoy is bottle or it's not bottle. The Chachamim hold min b'minoy, if you have things that are the same, they can become bottle one and another. And Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu be'elefloy bottle. It has to be different. So here, in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda's might it's bottle. Why? Because nevela and shchuta are different from another. And the Gemara explains that the thing that's being mevatel, the other thing has to be different. In other words, if the mevatel can never become like the thing that it's being mevatel, like the nizbatel, like the thing that's becoming batel, then it's called min b'shein aminoi, and min b'shein aminoi, it will be batel. Min b'shein aminoi, that's the din of bitel. So our Gemara says that the nevela can never become shchuta. But, so Rashi says this is incorrect, because nevela could become shchuta. How? Says Rashi, the first wide line at the bottom, kegoyin ki misrachla parchatuma. If it becomes inedible, we're going to learn out that everything has to be ruil agar. Agar toishev has to be able to eat it. And if it's not edible, it's not ruil agar. And therefore the tuma falls off. So, you know, in that sense, a nevela could become like a shchuta. Just like by a shchuta, there's no tumas nevela, so too by nevela, there won't be tumas nevela if it becomes putrid, that you cannot eat it. So therefore, the shita, if you look in Ois Hay, says the opposite. Shei efshir l'shchuta sheteyas nevela. The shchuta, the two pieces of kosher meat, in which are being mevatel the nevela, they can never become like the nevela. If they can't become, then it's a classic case of min b'she'enoi minoi. It's not like things. They're not comparable to one another. And therefore, the nevela will become batel in the shchuta. And therefore, there won't be a tumah. If somebody will touch this mixture, he will be tohar, because the nevela became batel in the shchuta. Ask the Gemara the same kind of question that we had before. Since nevela is tamei by carrying it, so you've gotten rid of the problem of touching, because each piece that you touch will say it's batel b'roiv. But now that you're telling me that tuma could be dormant. So if it's dormant, if I carry all three pieces, if I carry it all together, this mixture, I should become tamei. And why do you say that? It would seem that you're telling me that it's tamei. It's tohar both maga and masa. The masa should become tamei if you hold that there is tuma over here. Amar lei. So he said to him, Atan b'Rav Chizda misni tu la. You learned this in the name of Rav Chizda, who was an Amoira. And an Amoira, if there was a chilik between Maga and Masa, before we said Einichanami. Maga is Tohar, and Masa is Tame. Why can't we say that in Rav Chizda? Because a Rav Chizda is an Amoira, he would elaborate and explain his words. Atana is more careful and precise. He shortens his words. I can't say in Rav Chisda this chilek maga masa. He should have said so. So you have a problem. But anan Rav Chiya masninus in law. I learned this talk in a brisa of Rav Chiya the Tana. Tani, we learned in a brisa, Rav Chiya, who was a Tana, said, Nevelu shchuta betela zubazu. And it's interesting, here it says one is bottle and the other. The Gemara Menachas of Chav Beis Amid Beis points out that the way we learned before, it's only a nevela that should be bottle in a shchuta, because the shchuta can never become a nevela. And therefore it's min b'shein aminoi. But shchuta in nevela, we just learned before from Rashi, that a nevela could become a shchuta. If you're always looking at min b'shein aminoi is caused by the mevatel, so l'chayra, the nevela, which could become like the shchuta, then should be considered min b'minoi. So why, the Gemara Menachas asks, why does he hold that even shchuta in nevela becomes batel? That, the Ayin Shom, what the Gemara raises this question. However, what's negaya to us is that we see clear that Rav Chiya learned that a nevela is batel in two pieces of shchuta. The itmar Allah, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, Torah melatame b'maga, avo metame b'masa. I do have the answer that I said before, because we're talking about a Tana, and a Tana is concise in his words. So that's why on that, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, Taka explained, Rabbi Chiya, that he meant only maga b'masa is taka tame, because it's there. It's not this hapachli heter, it's tame, and when it has a chance, it'll come back. So when I'm carrying it, I'm carrying Tumah. Good. Third question. And this was the hardest question. V'had disnan, and we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa, Sheshof v'Charoras Dam, Harezu Tekover, V'Nifter Merab Chayra. And the reason this whole Daf of Gemara is brought in here is because we're going to ask this question from this Mishnah right here. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, if you have a behemah gasa who discharged a cake of blood, and in the blood we're worried that there might be a fetus, so the din is, I raise the cover, you have to bury it because a bechor that was not shechted is osur b'ano, you have to bury it. V'niftarim in a bechorah. And the next child that's born from this mother will not be a bechor. Why? Because we say that there was already a fetus in the first, in this dam. V'tani Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya learned on our Mishnah, Eina Metame, Loi B'maga, V'loi B'masa, because the fetus becomes batel in the Roiv Dam. The Roiv Dam is Mevatel, the fetus, and therefore we look at it that it's all Dam, and therefore it's not Metame, there's no Nevela here of the fetus, and therefore it's not Metame, not B'maga, V'loi B'masa. So, Amai, the Nehei Dibimagal, the Bach puts it, Nehei Dibimagal, Loi Metama, I understand why Mag is not Metama, Tetame Bimasa. If according to you it's Chayzer Veneer, then it should be Metame Bimasa. Ishtik. He kept quiet, he had no answer to this question. If we say the Kash was on Rabbi Yirmiyah, so it would be Rabbi Yirmiyah who kept quiet, or Abaya kept quiet. They didn't have an answer. This here it says Beferish, that loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. Now the Gemara says Dilma, and if you look in Rabbeinu Gershon, four lines from the bottom, Rabbeinu Gershon says, umefarik talmuda. The Gemara now says, wait a second, I might have a way out for, let's say, Rabbi Yirmiyah, or whoever the question was asked on, I have a way out. Dilma, and here the Shita takes out the word vadai. Dilma shiny hacha, the havila tumas rucha. We mentioned before about tumas rucha. Maybe we're speaking about over here. I mean, the reason why, the maybe is maybe that's the reason why bimasa is mutter. You know why bimasa is mutter? Because it's putrid. Who would eat a fetus in this blood? It's putrid. And that's why the tumah. If something's putrid, unedible, there is no tumah. So ain't a chanami if it would be because of the bittel beroiv, you're right, that if he carries the whole thing at one time, it should be metame. The reason it's not metame is another reason altogether. The really, it's chayzer v'nir, and the reason why it's tar here is because tumas rucha, because it's not edible. Ask the Gemara, that would depend on a machlokes between Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan. Ha nichler Bar Pada de Omar. Tumah chamura ad leger. Rashi learns, we're going to learn the sugya first according to Rashi, even though Tosfos has a question on Rashi. Tumah chamura refers to tumas masa. So tumas masa is dependent if it's edible to the ger. If it's not edible to the ger, then there is no tumas masa. The tumah kala ad lekelev. Tumas kala, which Rashi says means maga. Why is masa harder than maga? Because masa, even the begadim become tameh. By maga, the begadim do not become tameh. So Barpada distinguishes between tumas masa and tumas maga. Tumas masa can be lifted if a ger can't eat it, even though a dog could eat it. However, to get rid of the tumah kala of maga, there it has to be so not edible that even a dog won't eat it. So if you go like Barpada, it's good. Ha, and here the Bach puts in the word vadai. The word vadai we had a few lines up, which we took out. Here's where the Bach puts it back in. Ha vadai lechazi leger. This is not roy for a ger. So memeilav, it's not roy for ger. What did we just learn? That tumas masa goes away. So very good. So then I don't have a kasha anymore about chayzer veneer, because the reason there's no tumah is because of tumas masa goes away if it's not edible, and this is not edible. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Domer, as we turn to Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, achazu v'achazu ad lekelv. He learns, and we'll soon see the source of this machloikas, he learns that achazu v'achazu ad lekelv. There is no din of ger. The halacha is, it's only considered not edible if it's not edible to a dog. Both by maga and by masa, hochazi lekelv, this is edible. A dog would eat it. So how could you give me an answer of tumas rucha? You can't, according to Rabbi Yochanan. If you can't, my question comes back, that you see there's no din of chayzer v'nir. Because if there's a din of chayzer v'nir, even though maga is batel b'roiv, but it should be aser, it should be tameh because of masa. More says kasha. Okay, akasha. There's a famous shittas Rashi and the Rashbam all over Shas that say when there's a chilek kasha or tiyufta. Tiyufta is a checkmate. There's no way out. Kasha is akasha is possible teretz. In fact, if somebody wants to look this up in Bava Basra Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. Divriya Maskel Upsak, there the Rashbam says this klal. And in fact, the Chazoinish and the Hagoyes Cheshik Shloima give a terutzim of why this kasha is not a kasha. A kasha means there is a possible answer which the Gemara didn't go into. Okay. Now let's go back to this machlokes between Barpada and Rabbi Yochanan. Gufa. Barpada Oimer. Tumma Chamura Ad Lager. That the Masa is totally if it's edible to a ger. The tumakal ad lekelev. In order to get rid of tumakala, it has to be inedible for a dog. Rabbi Yochanan amar achazu v'achazu ad lekelev. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and he says both is for kelev. My time at a bar potter, what's the reason of a bar potter? The pasuk says, lo soichlu kol nevela. You shouldn't eat any nevela. And lager titnena v'achola. You should give it to a ger. So we learn out, haruyu lager kriya nevela. If something is edible by the ger, then this being about a ger toishav, who's not a full-fledged Jew, so he's allowed to eat nevela. So something that's edible to a ger is called nevela. If she ain't a real ger, if it's not edible to a ger, ain't a kriel nevela, it's not called nevela. Now we're talking about tumah, and here you're telling me about eating. The Chassam Sofer says that we learn ain't a chanami, the tumas nevela from achilas nevela. Whatever the din is by achilas nevela applies to tumah as well. Here comes the kasha of Tosfos on Rashi. Rashi said that tumah chamura means what? Masa. And tumah kala meant maga. Asked the Tosfos on Rashi, if you're learning it out from this pasuk, that leisoichel kol nevela, you're learning out tumah from achila, where do you see in this pasuk that there's a chilek between maga and masa? They both seem to have the same halacha. So Tosfos says that einichanami, he disagrees with Rashi, and he holds that both maga and masa have the same halacha. There is no chilek. According to Barpada, maga and masa will all be tully in a ger. So what is the chilek between tumah chamura and tumah kala? He learns tumah chamura is nevela, and tumah kala is tumas oichlin. I in Betoises, how Toises learns through, Toises has other questions on Rashi, but we went through the sugi like Rashi, but Toises disagrees. But, so, this is Barpada Shita, that it's totally in Ruya Lager. Ve'idach, Rabbi Yochanan, what does he do with this pasuk of Lo'isoich l'kol nevela l'ger? We see that it's totally in ger. L'mut de'hecha d'shricha mikara. He's memayet where it got spoiled from the beginning, where its whole existence to begin with was spoiled. So that's totally in ger. In other words, if I had a good food and the tumah went on it, and you want to get rid of this tumah, then the halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan is it has to be inedible for a dog. If it's edible for a dog, even though it's not edible for a ger, the tumah will remain. But if from the beginning of its inception it's srucha mikara, then Rabbi Yochanan is moida that it will be dependent if it's edible to a ger. So Rashi, in the middle of this long Rashi, Yisricha Mikara, Rashi asks, Ve'i kasha, le'il nami amaymuk, le'ilo b'kasha, ho'havla le'trutzi, le'hochi lo'y mitame ha'chororas dam, b'masa, de'mikara sruchahu, v'afil Rabbi Yochanan moidabo. So Rashi has a tremendous kasha. Why did the Gemara end off before that with this whole discussion of Choyzer Veneer? We wanted to give a Teretz Srucha. We said it doesn't work according to Rabbi Yochanan because it's totally in a Kelev, and it is edible for a Ger. And the Gemara says, okay, you stumped me, I have a Kasha. What's the Kasha? This is a embryo that's in blood. That didn't become Srucha. It was initially Srucha all the way from the beginning. And we just learned now that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that that's totally in Ger. So Rashi answers Teretz, Lav srucha mikarahi. That's not considered srucha mikar. Why? The hachazia leger agav ime. It was in its mother's stomach. And you had a heter to kill to shech the mother. So either once it's part of the meat that's in the mother's stomach, it becomes less inedible. In other words, people would eat it already. Or the pshat is, since there was a heter of shechita on the mother, so other achronim learned that heter automatically transfers over even to a part of the mother that might be not so tasty. It's considered that it's ru'uya. But, and in fact, this discussion we're going to see in a few lines, the Gemara itself brings it up. So Rabbi Yochanan used the pasuk for Sricha Mikara. Ve'idach, back to Bar Pada, his Sricha Mikara, like Sricha Kora Lamute. I don't need a pasuk to remind Sricha Mikara. Why? Afra Ba'almahud. We're talking about eating. So who would eat something that's Nisrach Mikara? That's like dust. And on that, we don't need a pasuk to tell you. Elamai, the pasuk's not talking about Mikara. The pasuk's talking about where it became Nisrach. Where it became Nisrach, even there, Rabbi Bar Pada holds, it's totally in Ger, and on that, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. It's none. We learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar Yaakov Eber, Behema Gasa Sheshofa Charor is dumb. Harezu to cover. V'niftir min Rabbi Chayra. V'tani Rabbi Chia Eina Matam Aloy V'mag V'loy V'masa. We learned this already. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan. Why is it not Matam V'mag V'masa? Mishum Bittul Beroiv Naguba. Because of Bittul Beroiv. So the Gemara has now, here's the question that we just learned in Rashi. My Irya Mishum Bittul Beroiv. What do you have to come on to Bittul Beroiv? Tepiklai Lois Chazi. The Yeshita puts in the word Lager Klal. It's not Roy. Who's gonna eat this? And the Gemara answers what Rashi told us. Honami is chazi mikara. The Shita puts in the word lager. Agav imei. It has either becomes physically more edible. If you're slaughtering an animal and you're eating all the meat, you'll already eat this part of it also. Or that it has a halachic heter. Agav imei. It's not awesome. We learned over there in a Mishnah Machshir in Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Oimer. This is very similar to what we started the shir today on Chav Beis Amid Aleph. Tzir Tor. How did the Tzir become Tor? Through Ashoka in a mikveh. Shenafu l'toichem mayim kolshu. A little drop of water fell into it. So the halach is, it becomes Tamei. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Zoyse Meres, Nech Shadu Ami Oretz La'arv Machtsa, the Tzoyin Kachim puts in the word Mayim Betzir. Nech Shadu here doesn't mean we suspect them of doing an Isser. Nech Shadu means we suspect that this is what happened. In other words, what's the ratio of water to the salty liquid that comes out of the fish? It's a 50-50 ratio. Therefore, if it's a little, if a little water gets added to it, now it already becomes a majority. Ah, now it becomes chayzer v'nir. Again, this will be talking to machlokes Abaye and Rabbi Yirmiyah. According to Abaye, it'll have to be tamei water that will make it rejuvenated. And according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, it'll even be Torah water. Torah water can also. That'll be talking to machlokes Abaye and Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Gemara says, since I suspect they mix it 50-50, a little bit of more water will make it tamei, it'll rejuvenate the water. Now, the Mephorshim say, wait a second. If you're talking exactly 50-50, it's not going to rejuvenate it. Why? Because you just told me it had hashaka. Hashaka will work on something that's 50-50. Since the water is not batel in the tzir, the whole reason why we learned today at the beginning of the shir, if the water is a minority in the tzir, then it has a din of tzir, and tzir can't become tar through hashaka. It's a food that can't become tar through hashaka, so the water can't either become Torah through Ashaka. But if it's 50-50, it's not bottled to the tzir. So then the Tomei water through Ashaka would become mutter. And if it becomes mutter through Ashaka, then it can't be rejuvenated. So the Mephorshim say, Ein Chanami. You have to say, because it is a strong question, you have to say that it means it's a little bit below 50-50. Therefore, Ashaka doesn't work. It's bottle, and if you add a little water, that little water will push it over and make it a majority of water, and now the tzir will become bottle in the water, and the whole mixture will become tamei. Right? That's what we have to say. Now, based on this, we're going to have to tweak the Gemara's next question, because what does the Gemara ask? V'lomoli machsa, what do you need, a half? Even less than a half, also it'll be tamei. Why? Because hani mashu havale palga upalga loy batel. Because even if I have less than a half, this mashu will make it exactly half. And if it's exactly half, then it can't become batel. But we just learned the whole sugya that it was speaking about less than half. So yeah, because of the ashaka problem. So you have to say what the Gemara means here is, why do you have to tell me that in other words, you're telling me it's a little less than 50-50. And the little bit of water that you add is going to push it over and make it a majority of water. What do you have to make it into a majority of water, even if what you're adding only brings it up to 50-50? You still will have tamei. Why? Because the 50-50 is not bottle in the tzir, and it'll be rejuvenated. Once it's 50-50, there's no bittel. So you'll have to say, the Gemara knew it's not 50-50 to begin with. The Gemara meant to say, but why do you need the water to tip it over to make it 51-49? Even if all the water does is to bring it up to 50-50, I still won't say bittel. Once I don't say bittel, everything becomes tamei. You'll have to learn that's the kasha. So the Gemara on this kasha gives two terutz. Teretz number one is Eimo Ad Machsa, Eina Chanami. I admit, you're a good question, and you don't have to go over and make a majority. Say till half. Iboy same, or no. You have to go over and make a majority. Why? Because Tumas Amoritz the Rabbanan. We're talking about a chash that the Amoritz made Tumah, that itself is Exeir the Rabbanan. And the Gemara Rashi brings down in Pesachim Daf Tezayin Amid Aleph, Tumas Mashkim in the Rabbanan. Tumas Mashkim is also only in the Rabbanan. So Beruba Gazer Rabbanim, Bepalga Palga Loi Gazer Rabbanim. If you're going to bring it over to a majority of Roiv, then the Rabbanim made Exera. But if all you'll do with adding a little water is bring it up to 50-50, so then since the whole Amoritz is only Mid Rabbanim, the whole Tumas Mashkin is only Mid Rabbanim, they weren't Goyster if it's exactly 50-50. Says the Mishnah, Rab Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Halakeach Behema Menikam and Oivet Kechavim. Goy brings an animal. I don't know anything about the history of this animal. All I see is that it's nursing a suckling, a young calf. So the Bach learns, Einoi Chayshesh, and we'll see this lashon tomorrow in the Gemara, not Ein Chayshim, but Einoi Chayshesh, the person, the Jew, who's buying this from the Goy, he doesn't have to worry, Shema B'noshal Acheres Hoya, that maybe this calf is another someone else's child, And she like sort of adopted this child and was nursing the child. In other words, let's see the Rashi here. Rashi in the Mishnah. If you think that this is not the cow's child, then you'll suspect that maybe she's nursing one that's not hers. And the next child she has, since I don't know the history of this cow, so maybe the next child that she has is in fact a Bechor. So Misafik, it should be a Bechor. I don't say that. We don't say Sheyehe Abo Achav Bechor Safik, Dineima, Hach Behema Loyal Dimaila. Maybe this animal never gave birth. Ela Sha'avazu Esben Chaverta. It had love for the calf, the child of its friend. But maybe you'll tell me, well, I'll prove it to you, because she has milk. She's nursing. How could she be nursing unless it was her child? V'imishim d'yesh l'chalov, the Rashi says. Ho'ikam yuta d'chalovis afal gav she'en yoldis. A meat of animals are chalov even though they're not the oldest. Ha'vadai lo yamrinin, you don't say this. El'vadai b'nohu uptur min abachayra. We say that the child is definitely belongs to this animal, and the next child that she has is not a Bechor. The Tosfos Yontif asks, what's Rashi going into a miyut? We know that that's only according to the sheet of Rav Meir, the Choshen L'miyuta. We don't paskin like Rav Meir, so why does Rashi bring it up? So the Tosfos Yontif answers, Rashi means to say, even if it's not a chash, that we, a miyut, but we know the history that much, we don't know about if it had other children, but we've been observing this cow for a while, and we see that even when it's not pregnant, even when it's not nursing, it still has milk. So we know it's part of the miyut. And afal pikein, we say that this is, we're going to say that, Rashi says that we say definitely that this is her child, and we don't say that it had milk and it was nursing a child that was not her child. That's the first din in the Mishnah. The second din in the Mishnah, which Rav Shimon Gamliel says, is nichnas l'toich edre, if somebody went into his flock, he sees everybody, Baruch Hashem, had children. And he knows certain one of the animals, this is their first child. And others, he knows that they've had. He knows the history of his flock. He knows they've had children before. And everybody had given birth. And everybody is nursing. So now, what is the chashash? Ein, and here again, the Bach says, Ein oi choishesh, again, not Ein choishin, Ein oi choishesh shema benosh ozu boloi eitzel zu. And the sheet that says, take out the word oi, v'shema benosh ozu boloi eitzel zu. We don't say that each one is nursing the other one's child. So, in other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel gave over here two dinim. The first halacha, there's nobody else around. So there he says a statement, this is her child, she's not nursing somebody else's. But now everybody's nursing. So maybe if everybody's nursing, maybe we switch. He says, no, even there we don't worry. We don't say they're all suffic b'chayris. If you could think that they switch, then all of these could be a suffic b'chayris. Because maybe they're coming from the animals that never gave birth before. So we'd have to make all the animals suffix. No. The ones that are with the animals that have given birth before are not Bechairis. The ones that are with the animals that are giving birth for the first time are definitely Vadi Bechairis. Amr Rav Nachman Mishmei de Rav. And the sheet that takes out Nachman Mishmei de Rav, he leaves it as Amr Rav. Rav made a statement. Hilchas Bekula Pirkin. We have a din, Stam Masnisin, Halachik Stam Mishnah. None of the Mishnais in this parak are Stam Mishnahs. They all have a Mandi Omer, like our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. The last Mishnah was Rav Lezer Ben Yaakov Omer. So Rav made a statement. Every Mishnah in our parak, which has a Mandi Omer who said that statement, the Halach is like him, Bar Miplukta. Unless you find a Mishnah where there's a Machloikis. So then we don't know who to Paskin like. But where it's no Machloikis, there, the halach is like that Mandi Omer. Omer Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes made a very startling statement. Amina, I would say, Kinayim v'shachav Rav, Omer l'hoshmaitza. That Rav, that made this statement when he was dozing off, falling asleep. So the Chavetz Chaim in the back of Shmiras Haloshin has a Shas v'tshuvas Chavetz Yor. And the Chavos Yair asks, in other words, what was Rav Sheshe saying? That Rav doesn't know what he's talking about. It's wrong. In fact, the Gemara is going to say Rav's right. But Rav Sheshe had a very strong question, and he said if Rav made the statement, he must have been dozing off. So how does he speak so disparagingly against the great Rav? So the Chavos Yair says, no, he didn't mean to speak disparagingly. He meant to say, Rav was so brilliant that if I would wake up Rav and he's still groggy from sleeping, even in that grogginess, he would never have said such a thing. If somebody said it, he would shoot him down and say it's wrong. We find that Rav said it. It must be this happened when Rav was dozing off. As he's falling asleep, that's the only time you could have caught Rav to make such a statement. But if he, let's say, even be groggy from waking up, he would have chupped that this is wrong. What's the problem? What's so terrible about what Rav said? Because what could Rav, which mission in our Perek is Rav going on? Elaim HaReishiv is going on the first mission of our Perek, Mifle, the sheet that puts in the word, the Bach, I think, or the sheet that put, the Bach, base. Miflik Pligi Rabbi Yishmol of Rabbi Akiva. You just told me that the halacha is only if there's no machloikas. There it is a machloikas. So he's not going on Mishnah Aleph. Next. Ella, the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, maybe he's going on Mishnah Beis, the one we learned in this whole daf about the charora with the fetus in the blood, that it's batel berov. I don't need, Rashi explains, I don't need Rav to tell me that Allah is like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, kavanaki. It's a little, Rashi says, it's only a kav. You don't find many words from Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov in Shas, Bavanaki, it's clean, which means Rashi says, Halacha Kamaitse. So we know that Halacha is like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. I don't need Rav to tell you that. Ella must be our Mishnah, the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. It can't be going on our Mishnah. Why? Because Miflig Pliki Bebraisa. Because we find in the Braisa that there's a Machloikis, we're going to learn it in tomorrow's Shir on Chav Dal and Aleph, that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And they say, we have to worry that there's Suffolk, maybe there's a Suffolk Bechayr in the first case, for example, of our Mishnah. Elo Ad Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. It must be on the next Mishnah, which is on Daf Chav Dal and Amid Beis. On what Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam said in that Mishnah. It can't go there on that either, Rav. Why? Ho Amar Rav Chadazimna. Rav already made an independent statement. The Amar Rav Hilchas Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. Rav said that Allah is like Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. So what did he have to make another statement to say that the Halach is like everybody in this Perek, and he's referring to Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam? He already made an independent statement that the Halach is like Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. Ella, it must be on the mission of Sar, Baal Mum. Sar Baal Mum is in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. So over there it can't be going on the last Mishnah in this parak because Miflik Pliga, Kavi Ben Mahal Rabbanan. If you look in that Mishnah, you'll see there's a Machlaikas, a Kavi Ben Mahal Rabbanan. So that's why Rav must have said this when he's falling asleep. The Gemara answers, Lo'ay Lam at Rav Shimon Gamliel. Really, it's going on Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'ha'kamash. So what did you ask me that the Bryce said there's an argument against Rav Shimon Gamliel? V'ha'kamash Milan. We're gonna do it like the sheet this girsa. The plukta the Bryce loy. He takes out the last two words plukti. That a bishloim if you have a machloikis in the Mishnah. That's what Rav said. The halacha is not like that Mishnah. We have the machloikis in the Mishnah. But here in our Mishnah, there is no machloikis against Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's only a braisa where we find a machloikis that Chachamim argue. So there, Rav said, that's not considered a machloikis. And I'm going to say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, the Kivan to Amar Rav Hilchasa Bekula Pirkin Barmi Plukta. If Rav made this statement, so then I don't understand something else. Halach Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam Lamali. Why, in fact, did Rav make an independent statement that the Halach is like Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam? You told me that what? That the Halach is like any Mandi Yomer in this Perek. So obviously the Halach is like Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. The Gemara answers, E Omer Hilchasa, the Bach says the next word should be Bikula Perkin. Had he just said that Loch is Bikula Perkin, Veloy Omer, and he had not said the independent statement of Hilchasa Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam, Hava Min, I would have thought, out of Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam call you. I would have thought, if he only made one statement, that the Halach is like the whole Perik is referring to Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. So wait a second, I have a problem. If it's referring to Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam and not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, as we said it was before, so what does it mean, Bekula Perka? What do you mean, the whole Perik? It's referring to one Mishnah. So my Bekula Pirkin, the Rabbi Yosef Tarthi Omar. Because Rabbi Yosef said two halachas. Rabbi Yossi over there speaking about when you're allowed to move aside the hair from a bechor, and it shouldn't be considered that you're goizes. You're allowed to do it if the knife is going to be concealed, and you're allowed to do it to see if there's a mum in that area. So he spoke about two halachas. If he spoke about two halachas, you could say kula, which there are meforshim who ask that that's not true. There's a Tosfos in Ksubos Daf Ches, where the Rosh Hashanah, I believe, points this out, that Tosfos says that only when you have three things can you say kula. The word kol or kula must refer to at least three things. But from our Gemara, Shver, because our Gemara says even two things. But if it would not have been two statements, it would only have been the statement that the halacha is like the whole perik, I would have said, who's that going on? It's going on Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. And what does it mean, b'kula perikin? The two halachas that Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam said. So therefore, Omar, he said, one second, b'kula perikin, Rabbi Yosef tarti Omar, because Rabbi Yosef said two halachas. What about the machloikas from the b'raisa b'Rab Shimon Gamliel, who plucked the b'raisa, plucked the I would have said then that the plukta of a b'raisa is a plukta. And that's why it can't be going like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. It's going bedafka according to Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam. So that's why he made two statements. Ashmin and halacha, Rabbi Yosef. He made an independent statement, halacha, like Rabbi Yosef. Lo ashmeinen to teach you that the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel koi. That when he said that halacha is like the whole perik, he's going on Rav Shimon Gamliel. And in our Mishnah, how many halachas did Rav Shimon Gamliel go on? He also went on two halachas. And on two halachas, we're going to say kula perikin. So now it's good. One statement is the halacha is like Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. And the second statement, the halacha is like the whole perik. Who does that refer to? That refers to Rav Shimon Gamliel. But if I hadn't said Rav Yossi ben Meshulam, I would have thought the whole perik is only referring to Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. So and now it comes out, if in fact kula perikin refers to Rav Shimon Gamliel, now plukta de brisa, lav plukta he. Now we're going to say that if you're arguing from a brisa, like we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, what that brisa is, that in fact is not considered a machloikas, and the mele I can say the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel.